He's a magical songwriter, and he's got a beautiful smile.
That's the thing about Verlin, is you could always count on him to do whatever needed to be done.
Probably your fault if you don't get along with him.
He has a way with words, comforting words.
Sweet dreams, they do come true.
It's a sweet story about a really sweet man who has monstrous talent, especially when it comes to playing acoustic guitar, right?
Why did you want to do a documentary on Verlin Thompson?
Well, one of the first rules of documentary is that you have to have access. And so I had met Verlin, and I've loved music, and I've played music for several years. And a friend of ours, a mutual friend, had introduced us, and Jack Secord, he's a local guy here in Bloomington, Illinois, and he attended a workshop, a guitar workshop, at Jorma Kalkinen's Fur Peace Ranch. I don't know if you're familiar with Jorma.
Oh, absolutely. Jorma Jefferson Airplane. Hot Tuna.
He's still out there. And anyway, he has a guitar camp in southeast Ohio. And so Guy Clark and Verlin, I think this was, and Verlin's been back several times since, but I think it was the early 2000s, taught a class, and Jack Secord was in that class. And there was a song that came out of that songwriting class that's just spectacular. It's called The Guitar, and it's just sort of I'd call it a guitar ghost story, but it's really interesting. And so I'd been shared these things, and I'm from Oklahoma originally, and Verlin is originally from Oklahoma. And so for years, Jack had been telling me, there's this guy you got to meet.
So what year did you meet him?
I met him in 2012.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Were you familiar with Verlin before that?
Just from vaguely. Just from when Jack told me about him,
okay.
And then I was obviously familiar with Guy Clark, and Verlin and Guy Clark, were a duo, touring together all over the world for 25 years. Anyway, I had made a little film in 2011. So Jack has a big acoustic guitar jam out at Lake Bloomington at the Davis Lodge every year. And so I thought, I'll make a little film about this. This is a nice gathering of people, a really humane story. And so I'd done this little 7-8 minute film. So Jack had sent it to Verlin. So the next year, Verlin was in town. He'd played a coffee house show. And the next day was the Lake Jam. And so he was there. And so, of course, I got to meet him that day. And I'd been told a little bit about him, and I knew he was from Binger, Oklahoma.
How far away is that from where you grew up?
It's probably 2.5-3 hours. Okay. But what you have to understand about Binger, Oklahoma is every young man in Oklahoma knows about Binger, Oklahoma, because that's the home of Johnny Bench.
The closest little town that I grew up near was a little town called Binger.
Well, Johnny Bench grew up here. He made the majors. I knew him real well, and his dad and mother and the rest of his family.
It just gave us all the hope that one day we could do it.
You see, he's Hall of Fame Johnny, and he keeps coming back to Oklahoma again. He's like barbed wire and baling wire. He's old and rusted.
My dad had some relatives that lived in Binger, so I remember visiting Binger back in 1975 when Johnny Bench obviously was just huge, and I was 14 years old or something. We were visiting my relatives, and I sat patiently and sat patiently and sat patiently. And then my dad's aunt, she was elder at the time, and I finally got a chance to talk because I didn't want to interrupt the elders. And I said, "Do you know Johnny Bench?" I said, "Lord, son, everybody knows Johnny Bench. It's a town of 500 people,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing I said to Verlin, Binger, Oklahoma, home of Johnny Bench. And then, of course, we hit it off after that. And as it turns out, he knew my dad's cousin. Actually, she goes to church with Verlin's mother, Darwita. Another whole story there, Darwita's Mandolin, incredible song.
Yeah.
And she's an incredible musician herself.
You included that in the piece as well.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
You can't not do
Well, he
it.
Said it was a very difficult song for him to write.
Oh,
he couldn't rhyme things, number one, right? That was a funny story.
How do you rhyme Darwita, right?
You don't realize she's from Greasy Bend, and I was thinking this is crazy, but then it clicked. See, my mom plays the mandolin. And it clicked to me that mandolin rhymes with Greasy Bend. And once that settled in, I thought, I can do this. So here's one from a dear sweet mom who still plays the mandolin today.
Verlin Thompson is not a name known outside those circles. He's certainly not, doesn't have the name, the cachet as some of the folks that you actually had in there talking about him. What was it that struck you about Verlin that not only you wanted to do this documentary on him, but something you thought would resonate with an audience?
Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, there's this huge songwriter community in Nashville. Nashville is very segregated in the way of music business. I mean, you have producers and engineers, you have songwriters, you have studio musicians, you have road musicians, you have artists. And it's very sort of compartmentalized. And he's been, you know, a songwriter in that town since 1981. And so I can name some people that you would know that have sung his songs. You ever heard of Miranda Lambert?
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever heard of Jimmy Buffett?
Well, yeah.
Right? Alan Jackson? Sure. Right? So, I mean, we can go on and on with that. But at the same time, a lot of those songwriters are incredible musicians themselves, but they're not the kind of, they don't fit well into the sort of the arena thing. I mean, you really need to see Verlin up close and personal. And he's a storyteller, not only in his songs, but the stories he tells that goes around those songs. And that was really what got me. I was listening to he has a live album called Live at the Ivies, and some super fans of his back east. And he had done a house show for them several years ago. And so basically I was listening to that, and it's just him, and he's just talking, telling stories. And then I realized when I was listening to this, oh, my goodness, he's already written the script to this film.
Ah.
Right? I mean, because he has all these songs that are autobiographical, I mean, to extent that I don't think any other songwriter has. And basically he tells his whole life story and song, and then he tells those stories that wraps around those songs. So I knew if I could capture several live performances, I could interview all the people that he talks about, I could show the places, okay, that he describes. Man, this is a really interesting mix. This is not just a biographical documentary, it's also like a performance film, okay? So I can tell you, I've been to Greasy Bend, and it's a beautiful place.
Well, it looks like it, yeah. Brent Simons is the voice you're hearing. He's a professor in the ISU School of Communication. He's just put out a documentary called Sweet Dreams Do Come True. It's a documentary on Verlin Thompson, the country bluegrass folk guy. As you put the film together, you had him telling stories. One at the Coffee Hound in downtown Bloomington was a central point of the film, but you had him in other places as well. And you talked about you interviewed his parents, you talked to another of the other musicians and songwriters and producers and old army buddies and, you know, families like that. But you produced it in a way and edited it in a way that he started telling the story, but then they kind of filled in the story as well. Or like they were all telling the same story.
Well, I mean, I teach documentary storytelling,
yeah,
and that's kind of a trick. Not a trick. That's just a way of doing it. So basically, if you have several people that have lived the same event or have similar experiences, you interview them individually about those things, and then you're going to get a much fuller picture. Sometimes those things will coincide, and then sometimes it's interesting. Of course, this is not a drama-filled documentary, you know, head-to-head, yeah, political, religious, that sort of thing. But sometimes you can have people telling opposite stories,
right,
and you kind of have a little point-counterpoint. But, you know, in this film, you know, they all lived through the same experiences, and so you let them tell their own, and then you craft the story from their responses.
Well, you're right. There is tension in a lot of documentaries. Sometimes probably they over try to sensationalize what tension there is. But I'm getting the sense from the film that there wasn't a whole lot of tension among anybody he came in touch with. He came across as so down to earth, and everyone who talked about it, there were a couple of people who almost started tearing up just talking about the impact he had on them.
Oh yeah, of course. And, you know, any life, you're.
Well, he's not
it's
perfect.
He's not perfect. And but I wasn't there to do an expose. And the people I spoke to, and the people I saw, and the stories he told, were all very positive. I really think this is a beautiful piece of humanity, and we need beautiful pieces of humanity to make us feel good about, you know, ourselves and, you know, our fellow citizens. And I think he's that guy. I mean, I think he's just, he's a beautiful soul.
What does he say about humanity that you were real happy that came across in the film?
Hmm. Let me think of that. Are you referencing something particularly?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, the whole film, he, as I was saying earlier, everyone who talked to him, talked about him, just said how down to earth he was, just how much of an impact he had on their lives. And we're talking some major players in the business, too.
Just one of the things about him is the humility. okay? I got an email from him the other night. He'd just seen the trailer for the first time, and it had some footage in it of people saying things that he hadn't heard yet. I mean, these are all people close to him. And he sent me an email, said, oh, man, I'm sitting here with tears rolling down my cheeks. To hear this stuff is just overwhelming. But also, I'm not worthy of this.
Next thing you knew, I was a staff writer getting paid to sit in a room and make up songs.
He worked for about 4 months, and here we are 30-something years later. At that point, he never had to work again. But the humility is what struck me, and I think that's why we've always been such good friends.
We've put off doing this interview for a while because you've had to secure some rights to music and images and probably video. How difficult is that?
Well, you need to hire a professional. That's the first thing.
To do what?
For like the music clearance, for example.
Okay.
Okay, so I hired a company down in Nashville called Clear Cut Inc. Okay, it's run by this woman, Barb Hall, who's also a video producer. She's had several national PBS documentaries, and very much about music documentaries, and so she knows her stuff. And then a young man that works for her, Trey Hamilton. So they started back in April. And so the thing is, they have to work, and you know, who owns the publishing rights? I mean, so throughout the years in Nashville, you know, perhaps, you know, maybe, you know, Verlin worked at a particular publisher, but then those things sell. If you've ever had your mortgage sold to somebody else, you'll kind of understand, you know, how that works. And so basically it's sort of a labyrinth of things they have to get through.
It's quite a minefield to go through, right?
Yeah, and it's not so much, I guess it's just the, you know, the particulars. And so it took until, you know, what, April to August to get that done. So I'd have that amount in hand that I would know. And then I had to hired an entertainment attorney out of Chicago, 42 years as an entertainment attorney, copyright. I felt really, really good about that. And so he helped me out. And so those are all things that I've funded myself so far and have funded the production of the film. I traveled over 8,000 miles. I went to Binger, Oklahoma 3 times. I've been to Nashville 4 times. I went to a winery in Missouri. Just, you know, to get him in different places, different situations, and to, you know, to meet all the people.